You may be seated. If you have your Bible and you would like to read with me today, I want to direct your attention from the book of Amos, the third chapter. I would like to begin reading at the first verse. In Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who cannot but prophesy? Now look at verse 3 with me. This is the scripture that I want to use as I share with you from God's word today. The prophet said, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? One of the great questions of the Old Testament. Think about it for a moment. Think about the importance of the question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to this question implies that God wants to have communion and fellowship with his people. Specifically in this passage, he is talking about his desire to have fellowship and communion with Israel. He wanted to walk with them. He wanted to fellowship with them. He wanted to have communion with them. But there was a problem. Their sin had severed their relationship with God. They were not having communion with the Lord. And so the Lord rebuked them through the lips of the prophet and said, I cannot have communion with you as long as you live with sin. As long as you disagree with me about the way you're living. As long as you disagree with me about my plan for your nation and for your life. You see, the only way two people can walk together to a particular destination for any length of time is to have a compatibility and an agreement together. Now, if you start walking somewhere with a friend and you get into a heated argument and then your friend bops you on the jaw, you're not going to walk with them any longer. You're not going to walk with them very long. Nobody is going to continue to walk with somebody who is constantly harassing them, disagreeing with them, and putting them down. But this is exactly what happened in the case of Israel. Israel was saying to the Lord, Lord, we know what to do better than you do. We know how to direct the affairs of our nation. We know how to direct the affairs of our life. And not only do we find Israel doing this, but people today do the very same thing. They don't say this audibly, but in their hearts they say, well, you know, I don't have to pay any attention to that truth. I don't have to pay any attention to what the preacher says. I know what I'm doing with my life. I know how to handle this situation. And then when the bottom falls out of everything and they don't have any way to turn, they wonder, what happened? God is saying here to the people of Israel, I want to walk with you. I want to have fellowship with you. But I can't walk with you as long as you are arguing with me about your life and about my plan for your life and about the way you're living. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about walking with God. And if you'll take time to study the scriptures that deal with walking with God, you'll find the scriptures have a lot to say about it. The scripture tells us in the book of Genesis about a man called Enoch that he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews, it says about Enoch that he walked with God and he pleased God. Now, that's the kind of fellowship that God wants to have with his people today. He wants to walk with us in this life, and he wants to walk with us forever in a fellowship that's going to last throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Now, Enoch had such a beautiful relationship with the Lord and walked with the Lord in such a beautiful way that the Bible says that God finally decided to simply take Enoch out of this world without him passing through death. Now, that's a very unusual thing. Most men die to get into God's presence. Most men have to pass through death. There have only been two men that are recorded in the Old Testament who went directly into the presence of God. One was Enoch and one was Elijah. And the Bible says about Enoch that he went into the presence of God, and it was because he walked with God, and God was pleased with the walk that he had with Enoch. Now, Augustine, who's a great Bible scholar in the Middle Ages, made this statement on one occasion, and I'm quoting him, because I think he has stated exactly the truth as is stated for us here in this text. O God, thou hast made us for thyself, and in thyself only are we at rest. You see, God's purpose in his dealings with our lives is to bring us into that place that he can have the kind of fellowship that he wants to have with us. Now, let me just suggest something to you today. There is no value in creed. There is no value in theology. There is no value in religious philosophy. There is no value in religious form. There is no value in worship unless it brings us into that place where we can have fellowship with God and where we can walk with him and have that kind of communion that God wants to have with our hearts and lives. The reason why we come to church like this every week and spend time in God's house is because there's something about worshiping God that brings us into that place of obedience and surrender to him that we can walk with him. That's the purpose of this service. If you come to God's house for any other reason, my friend, you have missed the boat. You have missed the point. God wants to have that kind of fellowship with you, and he wants to bring you into that place where you can walk with him every moment of every day of your life. Now, God wants to have fellowship with you when you leave the doors of this church. He doesn't just want to commune with you when you come to God's house. He's not interested in just talking to you around the altar, although he wants to talk with you at the altar. He's not just interested in having communion with you while you're in the church house and while you're in Christian fellowship with Christian friends. Oh, no. God wants to have that kind of fellowship with you in a moment by moment, day by day, walk with him that pleases him. Now, if you look further in the Old Testament, you will notice that whenever God dealt with the kings of the Old Testament, you will notice that he dealt with them on the basis of their walk with him. Solomon, David, in giving instructions to Solomon before he became the king, he said, now Solomon, if you will take heed to diligently walk in the ways of the Lord, God's blessing will come upon you, and God will bless your kingdom. And as long as Solomon obeyed that injunction and obeyed that instruction, God blessed him. And he had a beautiful and wonderful walk with the Lord. But when he departed from walking with the Lord, he found difficulty and problems and disappointment and trouble. And when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you read about those disappointments that Solomon had when he was the king of Israel because he refused to keep walking in the way of the Lord. There's another phrase you'll find in the Old Testament that's an interesting phrase. It is stated something like this. If a king failed and was not successful in serving the Lord, here's what you will find, and I'm quoting, and this is found in numerous places in the Old Testament as you read through the Old Testament. He walked not in the ways of the God of his fathers. He walked not in the ways of the God of his fathers. The Lord promised to bless the kings of Israel if they walked with him. And when they refused to walk with him, they did not have his blessing upon their reign. Now let me just share something with you. The Lord has promised to bless you if you will walk with him. The Lord has promised to bless you as you walk with him in this life. And that blessing and fellowship will continue in the life to come. But his blessing is based on more than just your position with him. Now, if you read Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, you will find recorded in that passage of Scripture that the Bible declares that in our relationship to God, we are kings and priests if we are believers. If you're a believer today, you are a king by position. You have been placed in the position of spiritual kingship. We are kings and priests unto God as believers. But the blessing of God is based upon more than just my position. It's based upon my disposition or my walk with Him. And as I walk with Him, His blessing will come upon my life. Oh, listen, friend, if we can understand the importance of walking with Him and the blessings that result from simply walking with the Lord moment by moment and day by day in this life. Oh, it's wonderful to have these great, glorious blessings and these wonderful services where the blessing of God comes down and our hearts are filled to overflowing and we just are lifted up to that position of heavenly places and we revel and bask in the blessing of Almighty God and His blessing fills our hearts and lives. I love those moments. But I want to tell you something. I cherish something even more than those moments of blessing. I love those times when moment by moment and day by day, I can have that confident assurance that I'm walking in His presence and He is with me, regardless of whether the day is good or whether the day is bad, regardless of whether things are going my way or not. I'm so glad that I can have that confident assurance that I have fellowship and communion with Him because I am walking with Him moment by moment in the everyday experiences of life. And I pray that God will help us to recognize the importance of walking with Him. Listen, when you walk by faith, you can walk with Him in every circumstance and situation of life. Now, I want to tell you there are days when it just doesn't pay to get up. You know. I read about the engineer the other day who was a top flight engineer and one morning he got called out of a bed on a cold night. A cold early morning, is it rather, and he got up, and from the very time he got up, he had problems and difficulties. He cut himself while he was shaving. His breakfast didn't turn out right. His car stopped on him on the way to the job, and finally he got a taxi and finished getting down just in time to pull the train out of the station, and he got the train out in high gear, and while he was out on the track, he came around a curve, and he noticed as he came around the curve, there was a train coming the other direction on the same track, and he looked to the fireman and he said, "Say, man, have you ever had one of those days when it just seemed like nothing went right?" Some of you didn't catch that. Think I ought to go through that again? Or did you have one of those days this morning? Oh, we've had some of that around here this morning. We got up this morning, got a call from Brother Burkini. He said, "Man, the bus won't start. What are we going to do? We got kids waiting on a bus to come." I said, "I don't know. Let's just try to get the thing started." We worked with it, and Brother Williams came down and tried to help us out, and he couldn't get it started, and he was a mechanic, so about that time, we gave up on getting the bus started, and we decided to make a couple of trips on the vans. But you know what? I still have the victory today. And the reason I've got the victory is because I'm walking with my King. I'm walking with my Savior. I'm walking in fellowship with Him. And my victory does not depend on whether the bus runs or doesn't run. It doesn't depend on whether the day goes good or bad for me. It depends on my faith relationship with Him. And I'm walking with the Lord today. And His blessing is in my heart. Whether I feel good or bad doesn't make a bit of difference. I have the victory because my faith and confidence is in Him. Now, how can you walk in this agreement and this agreement that brings fellowship and blessing? First of all, the Bible says a lot about how to walk with Him. First of all, it talks about walking in the Spirit. If you want to have this kind of relationship with Him that brings agreement with Him and brings His blessing into your life, learn to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 talks about walking in the Spirit. Paul said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now hear it carefully. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now, did you hear that? Walk in the Spirit. What happens when you walk in the Spirit? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, he lists the works of the flesh here. If you'll go down through these verses, you will find that he lists all the things that are called works of the flesh and that are not pleasing to God. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and on and on and on it goes. And then down in verse 21, he says, I have also told you in times past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what's he saying? He's imparting to us a beautiful and wonderful truth. If you want to overcome any work of the flesh, anything that hinders you spiritually, learn to walk in the Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, you will overcome the works of the flesh, and you will close the door to Satan so that he cannot be active in those areas of your life that will create problems in these areas of the flesh life. Now, there's been a real problem that's developed in many circles today, and a lot of it has come about as a result of some forms of deliverance ministry. There are a lot of people who go around today casting out demons. Now, a lot of people call this demon possession. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 that the things that are mentioned here are not necessarily demon possession. They are works of the flesh. Now, if you give over to the works of the flesh, you can open the door to demon possession, and it is possible to be carried so far in some activity of the flesh and giving over into some sinful activity of the flesh that the devil can come in and possess you if you give in to that. But the secret to overcoming the works of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. Now, let me say this. Even if a person is demon possessed, it's possible to cast the demon out of a person and they still have trouble with the works of the flesh, because you don't get rid of the works of the flesh by exercising demons. You only get rid of the demon. The desires of the flesh still remain. You still have to come to grips with those desires that would lead you into sin. And Paul the Apostle said the secret to overcoming in this area of your life, whatever it might be, and you can read the list. If you're bothered in one of these areas, my friend, the secret to overcoming it is to walk in the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? I'm going to share with you very briefly and very quickly how you can do that. You walk in the Spirit. Now, when you talk about walking in the Spirit, I'm not talking about surrendering control of your life to the Holy Spirit and just letting Him take over. That's what a lot of people want. I've had people say to me, well, Brother Slayton, why doesn't the Lord just take that away from me? Why doesn't He just take that desire away from me? It's not God's business to control your life. God is not going to control your life. He gave you willpower. He gave you a will, and He wants you to control your life. You know what walking in the Spirit means? It simply means turning the direction of your life over to somebody else. Now, people that live for the flesh and people that live in sin have been getting their directions from the devil. They've been getting their directions from selfish desire. But the way to get rid of the works of the flesh is to start taking your directions from another voice. And that's the voice of the Spirit. And if you will walk where the Spirit guides and walk where the Spirit leads and listen to the voice of the Spirit, train your ear to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, He will lead you in such a way that you can avoid being involved and overcome with the works of the flesh. I read a little illustration just as I was preparing for this service. I read about how that on the West Coast in the Portland, Oregon area, Portland is on the seacoast, but it actually lies about 100 miles inland. And the great ships that want to go into the Portland Harbor have to go down a river. And when they come into the area where the gateway to the river, or when they come into the area where they're going to enter the river, they have to take on a trained pilot who is expert in every shoal, in every sandbar and in everything they're going to have to face. And if he comes, when he comes on board the ship, he gives the directions to the captain and guides that ship down the river into the Portland Harbor. Now, that pilot does not take over control of the ship. He does not become the captain of the ship. He simply is an expert guide that shows the way. Now, the captain can ignore his instructions, and the captain can give whatever orders he wants to give. But if the guy is smart, he's going to listen to the guide, because the guide has the responsibility of getting him safely into the harbor. And I want to just suggest to you, that's a beautiful illustration of the way the Holy Spirit works in my life. When I surrender my life to the Holy Spirit, he comes into my heart and he offers to be my guide. He says, if you'll follow my instructions, if you'll go where I tell you to go, if you'll listen to my voice, I will lead you. I will take care of you. I will guide you safely into heaven's portals. I will take you to the harbor of eternity, and I will deposit you safely on the shores of eternity. Now, I don't have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I don't have to listen to what the Spirit says. I can ignore the Spirit. I can ignore those verses of Scripture that the Spirit inspires to my heart and life to help me. I can ignore those instructions that come to me. The Bible says that when you don't know which way to go, there'll be a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. But you don't have to listen to that voice. You can do what you want to. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, if you ignore that voice and you fail to listen to the instructions given by the Spirit, you're going to get into spiritual trouble. You will have problems in your life. You will not be able to have victory. I'm here to tell you this morning that the Holy Spirit has come as your guide, and he offers to expertly engineer for you the path before you and help you through those places you do not know. But you got to listen to his voice, and you've got to be willing to follow his leading. You want the blessing of God in your life? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible not only tells us to walk in the Spirit, but it says to walk in faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the faith chapter, and most of you are familiar with the faith chapter. But you will notice that not only in Hebrews chapter 11, but over 300 times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are 17 names that are mentioned. They walk by faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and on it goes. Noah, David, 17 of them. They walk by faith. If you want to please God, my friends, you have to learn to walk and live by faith. You cannot go by your feelings. You must go by faith. Now, I've said that before. That's no new revelation. But I want to just take a moment here to share with you something that I heard this past week. I had the privilege of attending the Church Growth Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. And since you couldn't go to the convention, I'm going to bring a little bit of the convention to you by sharing with you something that one of the speakers said that really ministered to my heart. Now, they all were good speakers, and I enjoyed every speaker I heard. But I especially was ministered to by Roy Hawthorne, who is the pastor of Calvary Temple in Winter Park, Florida, and he was talking about faith. And I especially liked what he said when he spoke on one occasion, and he said, faith may be defined in three ways. Faith is what you hear. Faith is what you see. And faith is what you do. That really blessed me. And I got to thinking about it. And I thought, man, that's such a simple, simple thing, but it really is true. Faith is what I hear. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I don't have time to go into detail. I wish I could. Maybe someday I can. But you know, the Bible teaches us that there are two words in the original language of the Bible. There are two different words for the word word. One word is logos, and the other is rhema. The word logos is a reference to the written word. The word rhema is a reference to that special word that the Lord gives to you individually. Now, faith, great faith, is based on the rhema word. When the Lord speaks to you individually And when the Lord gives you a rhema word for your life and for your experience and for something you're going through, that's when you're able to do great things and you're able to move great mountains in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let me show you the difference. Let me show you how it works. Brother Harthen told about a man in his church who decided that since the Bible says you can ask anything in the name of Jesus and he'll do it, that meant what it said, and he could do anything. And so he called some friends over to his house and announced to them he was going to turn water into wine. Guess what happened? He prayed and nothing happened. He embarrassed himself and he embarrassed his friends. And finally the pastor heard about it. You know, it'd be wonderful if people would come to the pastor before they get into confusing situations. He might help them out with a few things. But invariably, they'll wait till they get in trouble, and then they come and say, "Oh, Pastor, help me out. What happened to me here?" That's right. I'm telling you the truth. But he came, but his pastor took him out for coffee and asked him, said, "Why did you do that?" "Well," he said, "the Bible says if I ask anything in the name of Jesus, all I have to do is ask and it'll be done." That's true. If you've had the rhema word from the Lord. But listen, friends, if you haven't had the rhema word from the Lord, you'd better not be presumptuous and try to get God to do something unless you know God's going to back you up. And unless God's given you that rhema word, that special word to your heart and life about that situation, then you're liable to embarrass yourself and embarrass others. But listen, when you learn to walk in faith, what is the Logos word for? The Logos word does give us faith. It does develop that fruit faith in our lives. It does help us to learn to trust in Him in every circumstance, in every situation. Oh, that we may learn to walk in faith. But in those special instances, be sure you have the word from the Lord in your life before you act and before you do something that might be presumptuous, and do it even in the name of Jesus. Agreement that brings God's blessing comes when we learn to walk in faith. The Bible says that we ought to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. I don't have time to return to it and read it to you, but in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, Paul the apostle says we need to learn to walk in love. You see, love is the basis of all healthy relationships. Love is the basis of marriage, a healthy marriage relationship. Love is the basis of a healthy home relationship. Love is the basis of a healthy spiritual relationship. All healthy relationships are based on love. Now, let me go a step further. Love conquers lust. You see, the difference between love and lust is, lust says, "What am I going to get out of this situation?" Love says, "What can I give to minister to that other person? What can I give to minister?" And that's the difference between the two. There are a lot of people today whose lives are controlled by lust. Their selfish desires. What they're going to get out of the relationship. But oh, thank God we can walk in love. And love helps us to have healthy relationships. It helps us to have those kind of relationships that are pleasing to Almighty God. Love conquers every problem that arises in our relationships. Love conquers hatred. Love conquers fear. Love conquers all those things that destroy our relationships with one another and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk in love. We need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 quite often. It tells us how love operates. And we need to remind ourselves that love does not lift itself up. Love is not envious. Love is that that bears long, that suffers long. Love conquers everything in this world. Love is the greatest force in this world. And that's why the Bible says we ought to walk in love. Love conquers fear. You know, I read the other day about the cow that let fear rob it of its life. And someone summed up how fear works when they wrote about this cow in these words: "The worried cow would have lasted till now if she hadn't run out of breath. But she feared her hay wouldn't last all day, so she mooed herself to death." That is, you know, that's humorous. But I know a lot of people that are just like the old cow. They're afraid things are not going to work out. They're afraid things are not going to last. They're afraid, and because of it, they worry themselves sick and worry themselves to death. Love conquers fear. Have you ever noticed how that small children during a terrible lightning and thunderstorm, if they can just get near their parents and put their arms around them, they feel comforted and they're not afraid of the storm? Why is that? They never stop to question whether their parents really have the power to protect them or not. Their love is so great that if they can just feel the security of their parents' love, it's enough to take away the fear that grips their hearts. And I want to tell you, my friends, today, that whenever the storms are raging in your life, if you'll just put your arms around Jesus and cling close to Him, His love will help to conquer fear. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 18 that love casteth out fear. The more you love Him, the less fear there is in your heart and life. Because love and trust go hand in hand. I must hasten on and bring my message to a close. The Bible not only talks about walking in love, but it talks about walking in light. You see, the way of Satan is the way of darkness. The way of Jesus is the way of light. The world is covered with spiritual darkness, and people in our day are stumbling in spiritual darkness, trying to find their way. They're groping. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what to do. They're confused. They're perplexed because they're groping in darkness. But in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and we have fellowship one with another. And that fellowship one with another is our relationship to Jesus Christ. As I walk in the light, as He shines it on my pathway, I have that fellowship with Him, that continuing fellowship with Him. Oh, thank God for the fellowship we can have. And when I think about the people today that are dabbling in the occult, you know why so many people dabble in the occult? They don't know any way to find light. They don't know how to find their way out of darkness. They don't know that Jesus is the light. And so they will dabble in the occult to try to find a ray of light. And they don't realize, but they're just going deeper into the darkness. There is no light in the occult. There is no light in that smacks of the occult and that smacks of superstition. Oh, that smacks of black magic. I want to tell you, friends, the answer is in Jesus. He is the way. He's the truth. He's the light. The Bible says He's the light of the world. And if you need light on your pathway, open your heart to Him. Let the light flood your soul, and the light will drive the darkness and confusion out of your heart and life. There's one final scripture I want to mention to you in closing. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus promised to the overcomer that He would walk with him in white. Not only does He want to walk with us now in this life, but He wants us to walk with Him in white in eternity. Listen, to walk with the Lord in white over yonder, we're going to have to walk with Him in the Spirit now. We're going to have to walk with Him in love. We're going to have to walk with Him in the light. We're going to have to walk with Him in fellowship. If you want to walk with Him over yonder, you've got to learn to walk with Him now. The prophet said in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? What is your answer to that question? Are you in agreement with the Lord today? Are you walking with Him? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we wait in Thy presence in this moment, in this closing moment of this service, we thank You for the opportunity and privilege that comes to us to walk with You. Oh God, I pray that You will help us in this hour to recognize the importance of walking with Jesus. There's so many people, even who profess to be believers in Jesus, who have never learned to walk with Him. They walk in their own path. They walk in every other path but the path that's best for them. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that You will minister to our hearts in the closing moments of this service. And You will help us to find that path that You want us to walk in. And You will help us to walk diligently in that path moment by moment and day by day. There are some here today who are having trouble in their walk with the Lord in some of these areas, either in walking in light or in walking in love, or in walking in some other area of life. And I pray for them that you will minister to them and you will touch them by the presence of the Holy Spirit today. You will minister to that need in their heart and life. We'll thank you for what you do for us, Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for those who are having difficulty in their walk with the Lord. There are those in this audience today who are having problems in learning to walk with the Lord and learning to walk in the Spirit and to walk in love and to walk in fellowship with Him. You want to, but somehow there have been problems, either because of a lack of understanding or because of other problems. You're having some difficulty in your walk with the Lord. I wonder how many there are today who would slip a hand up and say, "Brother Slayton, I'd like to be included in prayer today. I'm having some difficulty in my walk with the Lord, and I'd like for you to pray for me." Would you slip that hand up and I'll pray for you? Yes. God bless you. I see those hands. Yes, yes. How many more will slip it up with these? You can put it down after you raise it and say, "Remember me in prayer. I need some help from the Lord in my walk." Yes, God bless you. Are there others here today? You need prayer. You want to be included with these others. I wonder if there are those in this audience today who would say, "I'm not walking with the Lord. I don't profess to be walking with the Lord. But I want to, and I'd like for you to pray for me as you pray for these others. Here's my hand. I'm not walking with the Lord, but I'd like to. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up so I can see it, and I'll pray for you when I pray for these others in just a moment. Anywhere in the audience, just slip that hand up high and right back down, and I'll pray for you. You're not walking with the Lord today, but you want to. The Lord is speaking to your heart. You say, "Brother Slayton, pray for me. I'm not walking with Him. I need prayer today. I want the Lord to help me to walk with Him. Here's my hand. Pray for me." Anywhere in the audience? All right, will you stand with me reverently, please? Please hold steady for just a moment. I'll dismiss those who feel they have to go in just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, for those who've slipped up a hand in this service this morning and said by the upraised hand, "I need help with my walk today. I need the Lord to help me in walking with Him." Lord, I pray that you will strengthen them and you will minister to them and you will help them to be able to know that you are there to minister and to guide and to lead them and to strengthen them in their walk with you. Blessed Jesus, you know how to help us in every time of need. I just pray, oh God, that you will minister by your Spirit and you will meet the need in this audience as we seek thy face around these altars this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're waiting in God's presence, I'm going to open these altars for those who would like to come to the place of prayer today. If you slipped your hand up a moment ago that you need help with your walk with the Lord today, why don't you lead the way to these altars? You're just simply saying, "By coming, I'm just going to ask the Lord to help me. I'm going to ask the Lord to strengthen me and to strengthen those areas of weakness and help me to have the kind of walk with Him that pleases Him." Why don't you slip into the aisle quickly if you slipped your hand up a moment ago and lead the way. The altars are open for anyone who wants to come. Whatever the need is, even if you didn't slip your hand up, if you want to lead the way and come, the altars are open. Let's just come and find the place of prayer this morning. The altars are open for your need. God wants to minister to you today. And if God is speaking to you about something that I have not even mentioned in my message, it's a signal that He wants to talk to you and He wants to minister to your life today. Are there others who would like to come and be a part of this prayer session this morning? You'd slip quickly to the aisle and come and say, "I want to spend some time in God's presence before I leave the building today. I want to strengthen my walk with Him. I want to draw closer to Him." While the choir sings, will you come quickly while we wait for just another moment? The altars are open for you. Everybody is welcome to come. Whatever your need is, if you will come, God will minister to you this morning. While we wait just a moment and give you a chance to move quickly. For anybody who wants to come, if you want to pray, you come. Move quickly to the aisle. We're going to dismiss those who have to go in just a moment.